For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Friday, November 3rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey everyone, it's Friday. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. Hello from a very rainy Hawaii. It's been amazing. It's like winter came early here to Honolulu or to the islands, and we have had nothing but rain for the last 3 days, some flooding and landslides, and it's almost like it kind of left off in January and February. If you remember listening to the show back then, we had like 40-some days. It was ridiculous. 40-some days straight of rain. It was miserable, and I had never seen anything like it. And we started talking today, man, are we looking to start an all-new record with this rain starting as early as it was? But hopefully the sun comes out tomorrow. But you know what? It's still 75 to 80 degrees, so who cares, right? All right, hey, for all of you that are long-term subscribers of the show, hey, thanks for being part of the Ohana, being part of the family here. Thanks for staying subscribed. And, of course, all of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, welcome to the podcast. And we hope that you'll hang out for a few shows. And, of course, check out all the content over at geeknewscentral.com. You can subscribe to the podcast newsletter. You can do that via the second column of the website. It says podcast newsletter. Go ahead and click on that. And, of course, check out all the archive podcasts. I'm going to tell you, though, you all surprised me. And lots of great ideas are coming in via email. Some good feedback is coming in. And, you know, some positive, some has got some suggestions. And I do want to thank Greg for sending in probably what I would consider one of the – that's super, super innovative, Greg. You know, I had talked on the last show about why I do not create an enhanced podcast here at Geek News Central. And he had said, hey, why don't you put a call out for volunteers to help produce an enhanced podcast for you? So what I'm going to do – and we'll see how this works, Greg. But I'm going to go ahead and make the call. If anyone would like to help create the enhanced podcast for the Geek News Central podcast, drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. And if we can make it a volunteer effort where we could get three or four people that could do it, it wouldn't be too much of a load on just a single person. But, you know, as I described in the last show, really, by the time I get, you know, it's already here 9:45, getting ready to, you know, starting to record, get done recording the show at 10:45 or 10, you know, wherever we're at in time frame. And I just don't have enough time to do it based upon my schedule and everything else going on. So thanks for that comment, Greg. And I did get a comment from one of the listeners. I said, hey, Todd, you know, you do your 10 minutes of talk at the beginning of the show, and I generally fast forward through all that material, and I get to the content, and then I listen to the content, and you get to the 50 or 55 minute mark, and then you start playing voicemails and going over listener comments. And this show used to be 45 minutes long, okay? So 10 minutes off that, that would have been 35, and we did all the content in 35 minutes. So now I do 10 to 12, 13 minutes of comments in the beginning of the show, and then I do about another 35 to 40 minutes of regular content. About the same, even though the show's longer. But he said, just give me a show with nothing but content. I don't want to hear any of this other stuff. I don't know. You know, I haven't had that much feedback and people saying to do that. Matter of fact, I get the opposite. I get the feedback saying, we don't want you to do that. We'd like to hear about the stuff going on. And well, I guess it's we'll see if this generates any more feedback to geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, I do want to thank my contact over at Apple for getting the iTunes listing fixed on TPN. We worked through the issue. It ended up not being a problem with Apple. It's actually on our end something very strange that I can't figure out even today how the listing was linked to a different URL. Just one of those mysterious things. But they got us all fixed up and we're good to go. And thanks to them over there for that. Hey, I've moved to a new office. We're in my regular JOB. And I was very, very sad today because when I plugged in my Sprint PCMCIA card, barely a signal. And my new desk is quite literally 20 to 25 feet away from where my old desk was. And that just made a whole change. And it crushed me. So I sent an email off to one of the Sprint contacts I have saying, hey, what can I do? I need some sort of a card that I can hook an external antenna to, that I can do, have an amplifier or something. That's all I really need to get a better signal. So they get some email back, and hopefully we'll have some news tomorrow, and maybe I'll be able to get some equipment that will help me maintain connectivity in my new desk at work. So we'll see what happens. But boy, oh boy, it was tough. No connectivity all day today. That really, really hurt. Okay. Let's see here. Hey, I played around, I really love this Google Co-op, and I've been playing around with it. And if you go over to rawvoice.com and play with the search, we've got a mashup search result engine over there that I think is really, really cool. You know, the guys and I were talking about all the great content that were, some of it's being originally created on PCN. Some, of course, the Blueberry content is a second point of presence. Soon-to-be new shows are actually going to be publishing on there. They're going to be hosting on Blueberry. And then, of course, all the promos on podcast promos. So we got this huge library of content. So we use Google Co-op to be able to search all of that. And it saves us having to roll out another search device. So it's really, really cool. Check that out over at rawvoice.com. Now, if you've been looking at Geek News Central, I've been making some very minor changes to the website. And I'm going to continue tweaking on that. It's been a while since I did any house cleaning on Geek News Central. And I'm going to be working on that over the next week or so and putting in some new enhancements. Hey, I do want to let you know how many of you, I've had a router, a Linksys router, I've had it forever. I've had it now for, it's an 8-port Linksys. I have a 6 of the ports that are in use. It's not a Wi-Fi router. I don't want one of those Wi-Fi routers because I've got some, they call it a WAP, and it's essentially you hook it into the router, and then I've got a very robust Wi-Fi box, so I don't really need that. But I'm looking for a new router, and I had thought maybe I would change brands, but what are you all using out there? What's the hottest new router that plugs into your cable modems? What are you guys out there using? And what's happening with this one is about every 2 days, all of a sudden it gets an error message. Either it's getting old and the electronics, something's going wrong inside and it errors out and I have to reboot it. It's not good because sometimes I'm doing streaming stuff out of here and I can't have that router go down. So what are you guys using for a router? What do you recommend? What's the hottest thing out there right now? Really, even if I go with a commercial one, at this point, I want something that's going to be really robust. I want to hear from you folks what you think the best router out there is right now. Hey, I want to give you an update on my niece. She has been moved to rehab, and so she's out of ICU, down into an actual different hospital now, or different center in rehab. Very, very tough going. She is progress is very slow, as kind of to be expected, I guess. But she is making progress, and I guess that's the main thing. And we'll see how fast her recovery is, or we'll know more here in the near future on her overall outlook. It's gonna be a long recovery time for sure. But making baby steps, I guess that's what counts. Every day's a challenge, that's for sure, though. Okay, Hey, some of you sent me an email and said, hey, Todd, I've signed up for your newsletter, but I'm not getting it. You know, if you're signed up for the newsletter and you haven't been getting it, please send me an email with the email address that you are using, that you're signed up to the newsletter from. That way I can figure out what's going on. I think there's a lot of, we're sending out now close to 4,500 newsletter messages every show. And that really, what happens is you all of us, sometimes ISPs flag you, especially if I send too many to one ISP, they start flagging us as spam. So if you're not getting the newsletter and you're signed up, let me know, and we'll kind of track that down. We're going to have to do it one domain at a time, but that's what we've got to do. I've had a tremendous amount of feedback on our last roundtable that we did, and if you haven't checked that out, make sure that you do. And, of course, we're using GoToMeeting, the online web conferencing tool. And the main thing is, if you are still driving or flying to get to all your meetings, then you need GoToMeeting, the easiest and most affordable way to hold online meetings. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere in the world. All you need is an internet connection and a PC, which means you no longer need to leave your office to hold presentations, demonstrations, training sessions, and collaborations. Simply invite people to meet you online during your conference call, and they'll see your desktop on their computer screen. Now, for the best part, you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Hey, if you'll notice on my website, I've got at Geek News Central, I have an article that I put up there today. And I've really been pinging hard on the Second Life new pricing scheme that's come out. And if you're a Second Life user, land prices are about to go up in a dramatic way. Now, you're going to say, kind of, what's driving that? Well, Linden Labs has said that they are going to increase the cost of owning an island. And islands are so many square feet. I don't know exactly, 128,000 square feet or something like that, that you get. And essentially what that is that's one island is a quarter of a sim. So you're actually, there's four sims to a server. And so at least this is the way I understand it. So if I'm wrong, someone please correct me. So you have four islands make up a sim, when one sim is one server. Okay, so here's the story on this. Right now, they're charging $1,675 to set up an island. With these new prices, they're going to go into effect on November 15th. Now, if you take that by 12 months and you multiply that out, the per month charge is then an additional $295 a month. So for a year, the grand total would be $5,215 would be your first year cost. So if you only rented for a year, it would be $5,215. Now, if you go longer than a year, of course, with your island, then that number starts coming down slowly because you're deferring the setup cost over time. But regardless, you're paying $300 a month after you pay that initial setup fee. And I got to thinking about that a little bit. I said, man, that's high. If you compare that to typical server hosting, and what I did is I went over to GoDaddy and I broke it down and looked at a dedicated server at GoDaddy, just a very basic dedicated server, something that they offer as a standard starter server. And I rented it for a year, so I got a discount that way. Then I applied the Geek 5 15% discount. And what I found out was a dedicated server at GoDaddy cost $0 to set up, $75.64 a month is the rental fee with a discount, an additional discount of 15%. Multiply that by 12, and you get a total of $771.60 a year for a dedicated box, for the very basic dedicated box. Now, I divided $5,215 into $771.60, and that equals 6.7 servers. So I could essentially, what I don't understand is why this price is so high with Linden Labs and why they've had to raise their price so ridiculously high. If there are four sims or four islands to a server, essentially then, you know, this is crazy. some crazy pricing. And they said they're going to be losing money by charging $195 a month for the SIM. Now, some of these SIMs don't get a lot of traffic. I'm sure they have to count bandwidth in there. But a basic GoDaddy server, 500 gigs is what you get a month in bandwidth cost. And an additional 500 gigs only costs like $27 or $28 a month to get from 500 gigs to a terabyte. Okay, you do the math on that, still a lot cheaper. And I guarantee you most of those SIMs are not moving a terabyte of traffic a month. I don't know. But anyway, if you're a Second Life fan, you need to question why the price increase is so dramatic. I mean, it's like 30% increase in price. And of course, you know, I did this comparison against GoDaddy. And if you go to other server hosting poison, we host our backup servers with a different lower-end server company. Essentially, we have two or three of these very low-end servers. And I pay, I think, $31 for those very low-end servers. And they're very basic machines. Don't get me wrong. They're not powerhouses. They're used for archiving and, you know, some backup-type services and stuff like that. So they're fully capable of running websites, but we don't use them for that purpose. And obviously, they probably would not be capable of running a SIM, but I went with a good server through GoDaddy to do a comparison. Who knows? But anyway, of course, if you're going to buy any server products or domains or anything like that, get over to GoDaddy.com and use some of our promo codes. We put all the promo codes up on the last podcast. And of course, you can always use that Geek5. It gets you 15% discount on purchases of $20 or more. Okay, got a lot of stuff. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Let me get into the content. Let me open FeedDemon here. Let's see if I've got it set up on. Actually, I'm on the wrong article. Let me go all the way back to the other end. And we'll get into the full-blown content tonight. All right, Space Shuttle Discovery is prepped for the next launch. They've mounted the external fuel tanks and the twin booster rockets have been put on. And NASA's going to be doing some tests of all the electrical mechanical connections, and it's going to be shipped out to hauled out to the launch pad. Looking for a launch, I guess, their first week of December, back to the International Space Station. They're going to be carrying the rest of the parts needed to for the next solar array, I guess, and get that up and operational. They're going to be doing a bunch of spacewalks. But and in other news from NASA is they have decided they're going to go ahead and do the mission to Hubble. This is fantastic news. They're going to do it, I guess, sometime in 2008. They're going to go out to Hubble, replace the batteries, put some new eyes in it, all kinds of stuff that they're going to do to upgrade Hubble to take it out to, I believe, 2012 before the next telescope is launched as its replacement. So very, very exciting, and we'll see what happens there. But NASA's staying busy and making a very good decision on this, on space exploration. So I'm real, real happy with it. Okay, there's an article over on Wired that I found pretty fascinating. And I guess this could happen to any enterprise system or any major company that has a network. You know, a lot of times companies will get notifications of a virus or an exploit and then have very, very little time to get all their systems patched before that exploit is out in the wild. Many times it's hours now, you know, and once the exploits are released or the patches are released, then these exploits spring up very, very close. And sometimes they are up before the exploits are out before there's even a patch. But apparently last year, Homeland Security had some major issues through the Immigration and Customs Enforcement backbone. A computer virus raised havoc, shutting down workstations at border entry points. Pretty fascinating story about the decision process that the IT staff made in determining what stuff was going to get patched first and, you know, doing revision testing. And, you know, what they're trying to do, of course, is ensure that when a patch goes out, it doesn't break something, so they have to go through and do a thorough test. And it's probably one of the more tedious things that IT personnel have to do, but it just goes to show what bad happened with a decision not to push an update So Wired had actually fought for this information via the U.S. court system and actually was able to get access to most of the info through a Freedom of Information release. But I guess the Homeland Security did not want this out on the street, but they were able to get it legally. But it just goes to show you what can happen to an enterprise. And I'm kind of waiting to see how long it takes for IE7 to start being pushed out onto some of the major websites or web, you know, enterprise systems out there. If you are in a big company, why don't you ask around and see how long it's going to take before IE7 is going to be pushed to you. Now, I know that for those of you that have Windows XP set up on auto update, IE7 was pushed to you manually. Now, if you are using Spy Sweeper, Webroot Spy Sweeper on your Windows machine, like I was, the IE7 update will fail. So if you have that spyware sweeper running, shut it down and do the update manually. That's the only way that you're going to get the IE7 update. There are a couple of other things that are gotchas that could cause it not to install. If it does, excuse me, there'll be a little icon on your desktop that explain the actual procedures to get it so that it will install. Because so many of the applications out there today have made it like the anti-spyware have locked down the configuration so that some of the bad stuff that was out there that would go in and change registry settings, etc., could not. And it essentially protected you from the vulnerabilities that were built up into IE7 over being so old. I mean, IE6 for being so old. So anyway, you've got IE7 now, and love to hear some of your feedback. Those of you that are using IE7 as a primary browser, let me know what you think about the tabs. And also, those of you that are bloggers, do you have auto discovery working on your website? When you load your website up in IE7, does the little RSS button, does it light up? If it doesn't, you need to read an article on Geek News Central. It shows you how to make sure that you get it. Actually, I link you to an article that shows you how to get your sites so that RSS auto discovery works. Now, RSS auto discovery has been in place for quite a while because Firefox relies on it along with other applications. But check it out and make sure that your site's good to go so that all the people that are using IE7 who have never experienced RSS, when they come to your website and they see that light up, they go, well, what's this? And just watch your RSS subscriptions climb. All right. Looks like Apple has pushed iTunes version 7.0.2. Supposedly fix all of the stability and performance issues that were going on. Those that have gotten it so far have said that it looks like the update was good and it iTunes is back to its normal self. So if you haven't updated and you're having problems with iTunes version 7.0, it's highly recommended that you go ahead and update for the speed improvements alone. All right, now, changing venues here a little bit, there's an article over on TechDirt, and I had to laugh when I saw this. We had actually submitted I can't talk too much about the patent we submitted because we've kept it pretty quiet. But we had actually written a patent, and when I looked at the article on TechDirt, it makes me pretty happy that we didn't have a lawyer with the sense of humor that was apparently aligned with this guy. So let me read a paragraph out of a patent, an actual patent application that went in. This is paragraph 9. The method of providing user interface displays in an image-forming apparatus, which is really a bogus claim included amongst real claims, and which should be removed before filing, wherein the claim is included, determine if the inventor actually read the claims, and the inventor should instruct the attorneys to remove the claim. Now, that actually got submitted. An attorney put together a patent application for someone, and actually put this set. Now, I think I'd go back and sue the attorney in this, because the attorneys to do patents are not cheap, but it's pretty amazing that someone would pay an attorney to put a patent application together, and then the guy wouldn't read it. But this actually made it through into the patent office. All right, here's some food for thought. You arrive at work tomorrow morning, And actually, it's Saturday, so it would be Monday morning. You arrive at work Monday morning, and you open up the office email. And in there is an email from HR saying that you've been fired. And it gives you a tells you when your termination date is, and it's because of downsizing. And it gives you some links to some websites that will give you some information on where you can, you know, apply for benefits and where you can actually go and get some assistance in finding a new job. Well, you've read this. You're about to fall over because you didn't know anything was coming down the pike. And you click on one of the links that sends you to a website that's supposed to help you. Well, it turns out that the email that came in was spam. And the spam mail contained some scam links that allowed you, just through emotion alone, to load a website that downloaded and infected a network with a keylogger program. Apparently, this really happened. And there was enough employees that freaked out by the notice that they had actually went through and clicked on these links and got their computers infected and the network infected. Would you be inclined to click on that? Would that be enough to, or do you think your company wouldn't fire you through email? You know, it's happened. It's stranger things have happened. You know, it's your boss. A lot of times these decisions are sent now via your cell phone, you know. you know, getting fired by proxy. But, you know, scammers are going to all lengths. And I actually got an email from someone that is a techie that got sucked into a phishing email. And I'll read that email a little later tonight. All right. We've got some information on Vista Office is coming later in the month. Business owners are going to be, or business customers are going to be able to get a chance, get their hands on Windows Vista and Office 2007 when Microsoft launches on November 30th. So if you are, if you have a business, you can probably call some of your major, if you have a business account with a major big box, and pre-order Windows Vista and Office 2007. So I will probably get Office 2007 right away. I've been hearing good things about that. I'm definitely looking forward to upgrading to the new version of Office. I don't know if I'm going to be so quick to upgrade on Vista or not. But we will see kind of see where the wind blows after they've released it, and what kind of problems people have. Now, Microsoft Exchange Server 2007 is also going to be released to business customers at the event. So I'm hoping that I've got enough clout in my business account will let me get a version of Office 2007 right away and upgrade some of the machines here. And I'll be able to report back to you how I like it or dislike it. You know, there's been a lot of information in the space about it already from beta testers. I particularly like some of the write-ups that Chris Perillo did. So we will see how it goes. And they're saying, of course, that the products will be released to the general public. It looks like on January 30th. So we'll see what Microsoft has got planned, if they're going to have a big rollout like they did with you guys remember when Windows 95 was actually released? They had a huge party. Windows XP was not as big as a hyped event, but I'm almost betting an operating system that's been 5 years in the making. Imagine that. Windows Vista, it's already 5 years old. That probably makes your Mac users smile. All right, unless you've been sleeping underneath the tree, Google has bought JotSpot. And if you aren't familiar with JotSpot, JotSpot's a wiki, and it is a I've used JotSpot before and actually driven some projects by it. So what you had to pay for before is now free. So you can get JotSpot for free courtesy of Google. And, you know, Google is buying stuff up in a hurry. It's interesting to see the acquisitions they're making. And as they do, their vision is starting to form up very, very clearly. All right, there's been some releases, or actually some pictures released of the new packaging for Windows Vista. And while the packaging itself was like, okay, you know, at least they got outside the box a little bit and made the packaging a little more exciting, I was kind of surprised about the actual disc. The disc do look really cool. The CDs, they've got a picture on neowin.net. and shows what the actual disc is going to look like, and it looks pretty rad. It really, really does. And I think, you know, Microsoft actually must have hired someone with some artistic skills to make these discs in the box, because very, very cool. But anyway, you'll be able to check that out yourself via the link in the show notes at geeknewscentral.com. And for those of you that are on listening on the Tech Podcast stream or one of the other sites where we are affiliated with, and, you know, we're on a live stream, hey, get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out the website there as well. All right. Looks like that spammers are making some new tactics, and of course they're always changing their game. But what there's a new trend is showing up where spammers are using the domain names or domain extensions of small islands. Now, you know, there's all these small islands that have these strange dot endings, .be, .iz, dot, you know, all kinds of strange little endings to .com, dot whatever their country name is. So spammers are using some of those unknown extensions to get by some of the filters, because not all the filters have all of those specific extensions in there. So I'm sure we're going to see some updates coming here very quickly that will essentially encompass all of those extensions. Now, what happens when ICANN opens that up even more and, you know, domain names start to become ambiguous? You know, they're going to have to use a different tactic. All right, there's getting ready for those of you that the next show will actually be produced on Monday, and Monday evening you'll get it Tuesday morning. That'll be voting day. But I do want to talk about a little bit about these voting machines, these Diebold voting machines. There was an HBO film that has come out that highlights the vulnerabilities of these electronic voting machines. We haven't covered it too much here. Actually, I've never talked about it here. But there's obviously a lot of people talking about it right now, because we're getting ready for the midterm elections, and all the groups are basically saying, hey, these things are super, super suspect. But I find it's very interesting that HBO put a documentary together on it called Hacking Democracy, and it actually is playing tonight. Now, I'm recording the show on my DVR downstairs, because I'm recording on Thursday evening, you get the show Friday. I'm definitely going to watch it, so I'd like to hear from you folks, if you got to see it, what you thought about the actual documentary that HBO did. Now, they drew criticism from the manufacturer that they're not real happy with their decision to run this. I think it's very good that HBO did, and it will hopefully wake some people up on what's going on. Google has donated $30,000 to Creative Commons, and if you're not familiar with Creative Commons, I encourage you to get over to the Creative Commons website at www.creativecommons.org. And if you're producing a blog or doing a podcast, I highly recommend that you associate your content that you're creating with a type of creative license that you think best fits your content. And, you know, it gives those of us that don't know how to write those licensing terms a very easy way to go through their step-by-step methodical process in developing a type of license that you want for your website. And if you want to look at the Creative Commons license for the Geek News Central website, you just go to the bottom of geeknewscentral.com. Actually, it's in the second column, and you see a little link there to Creative Commons. You can check that out, and it'll show you the actual permissions for this show and website. All right, Microsoft is shuttering MSN music presses. And to be honest with you, I didn't even know that MSN had a music site. but beginning November 14th, MSN's music site will begin to be redirected to either the Zune Marketplace website or the Real Network's Rhapsody site. So apparently the WMA files did not sell really good. So that's no surprise there. But anyway, I've got a little more information on Zune as well, too. We'll talk about that here next. The Zune.net website is launched. And, you know, every time I see the Zune or I think of the Zune, I get mad. And I'll have to we do have some Microsoft employees listening here, because I got an email from one that was doing some clarifications on the licensing, and I'll read that here at the end. But every time I see the something about the Zune, it just something makes me more irritated with Microsoft and not getting it. Say the people, you know, there's some supposedly some survey out there saying people are really going to buy the Zune in big quantities. Now, I'm probably end up buying one just because I'm going to need one to talk and bash about. Maybe not. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to get one. I guess it depends on their availability. I didn't pre-order one or anything else because I was just kind of disgusted that we couldn't get podcasts on it. But what I was thinking about doing was maybe putting out a challenge. Maybe I would lay some money on the table and hope to get some other people that would be willing to do the same thing. And essentially what this would be a developer's challenge. We would get enough money on the table and say, you build us a great podcatcher for the Zune specifically. Make it open source. Pay someone to do this development. Lay out the statement of work so that the programmer knows exactly what we want accomplished within the podcatcher. There's got to be a way. There really, really does to get podcasts onto the Zune. And I think the Zune's going to sell well, but I think it's important that even since Microsoft blew it, that we take it upon ourselves to help get the content onto the player. And so I'm looking for some people that are willing to stand up and say, yeah, I'm willing to put some cash on the table to make this happen. Now, I'm going to be posting an independent blog post on my website to talk about this initiative. And I'm willing to put significant dollars on the table to make it happen, to show Microsoft that they're not willing to do it. Some of us are, and we understand the importance of having an application that will be able to be used by the masses. Okay, AT&T Bell South merger vote delayed for the third time. The FCC delayed the vote whether to allow AT&T to acquire Bell South. Apparently, a few of the Democratic commissioners want to review the filings that were done by AT&T and also want to give the public a little more time to comment. So I highly recommend you to read this article that's on CNET at news.com and go over to the FCC website and comment on it. Read it and comment. If you don't, we're going to have more of this consolidation. Personally, I don't think the merger should be done. You know, and that just comes from old school thought processes on why they were broke up in the first place. It goes to show you that there is definite concern about this deal and that the commissioners understand the issues, or at least a couple of them understand the issues on this. Apparently, one of the commissioners is not voting. He's recused himself because maybe some sort of conflict of interest there that goes back to before he was a commissioner working. It says it because he was working with Comptel, an organization that opposes the AT&T BellSouth merger. So, you know, I hope this guy votes his conscience and comes in there and votes no. That would be, in my opinion, would be a beautiful thing. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure everyone's opinions differ on this, but whatever your opinion may be, get over to the FCC and make a comment. All right, something happened. I don't know if someone over at Microsoft had was knocked out and someone slid a deal together. But check this out. Microsoft supports Linux via Novell. Engadget article says Satan is phone gates regarding the temperature, because we basically say said hell wouldn't freeze over. But, you know, Microsoft is making a deal. It appears that they're going to be working together with them. Apparently, Microsoft has reached an agreement with Novell, where Microsoft is going to be providing sales support to Novell's SUSE, SUS Linux operating system. Hold the phones. This is the real deal. Are some of you sitting there shaking your head? I am too. But apparently, Microsoft and Novell are now in bed with each other. And they're going to be making a dual boot systems. Do you think Microsoft did this because Apple has seen an increase, as it's been reported here in the news the last couple of days, seen an increase in their market share? Does this maybe indicate that maybe Microsoft might be looking to, in its next operating system, completely revamp Windows? This could be very, very interesting. If you can't beat them, join them. Now, you know, Microsoft's definitely beating Windows or Mac in the operating space game. But if they're starting to see major shifting to the Mac, to OS X, then would Microsoft say, we need to fight fire with fire by coming up with, who knows here? His possibilities are huge. This would be a monumental, this is a monumental shift in thinking. So Steve Ballmer made the announcement, and this is amazing. It really, really is. So I'm sure we're going to see a lot of news on this tomorrow. As I talked about in the last show, Microsoft has changed the licensing agreement for Vista. I do want to read the actual clause that they said. They say you may uninstall the software and install it on another device for your use. You may not do so to share this license between devices. They changed all that other language. It was in there. It was talking about one reactivation, blah, 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 all that stuff. They stripped that. So it says now only you may uninstall the software and install it on another device for your use. You may not do so to share this license between devices. Now, I want to kind of go into the email that I got sent. Let me see if I can bring that up real quick. Okay, I do want to keep the person who sent this to me's name semi-private, so I'm just going to refer to his first name. Peter sent me an email. He said, hey, there are Microsoft people that listen to your show. And he said, I just want to clarify something that you said in your show in regards to Vista. If I remember correctly, you were talking about the changes, the amount of times that you could reinstall Vista. I just wanted to clarify with you that the OEM rules stay the same. That is, if you purchase a PC with Windows with Vista pre-installed, and then at a later date decide to flatten it and install another operating system, and he's got in parentheses here, God forbid, then you will not be legally entitled to install the Vista software on a different machine. OEM licensing always lives and dies with the hardware it was purchased with. This has always been the way and won't be a new thing with Vista. So that's good to know. So if you buy a computer with Vista on it, you cannot... Essentially, you bought the OEM version. That's, you know, the manufacturer paid a discount to get, you know, because he's putting it on the machine, Windows gives it to him, or Microsoft gives him to it at a reduced price. So, and obviously, the way they build these reinstall discs now, there's no way you could move it around anyway. It just wouldn't work. The machine, it looks for a specific machine and the whole nine yards. So, there really would not be any need to, but if you're buying, like I've got three machines here that will need upgrades because they're non-OEM computers. I've only got a couple of OEM computers around here right now. So that's kind of an update on the Windows thing. And thanks, Peter, for that. And maybe a little more from Peter a little later on. Him and I have done some additional talking on some other stuff, so that should be kind of cool. All right, you know, today, you know, it's so funny how coincidence happened. But they were giving not flu shots, but flu inhalers. Have you guys seen these yet? They're a little device that you use, and it gives you like a and it gives you your flu shot via an inhaler instead of a needle. I've never seen anything like it. And it grossed a lot of the people out that I've seen actually using. They said they would have rather gotten the needle than use this inhaler to get this flu shot delivery. Now, what are we going to call it? A flu inhaler? So, anyway, they've got these things out. But then I was reading Engadget, and they've got a review of this thing. Now, I don't know if this one is specifically in use, but it costs 4 cents for an inhaler versus the cost of a needle and a syringe and the whole nine yards. But very, very cool. How many of you have seen these inhalers? it's the most weird thing, and people say it's the most weird sensation they've had. But it gives us the way it delivers it is they say it's kind of icky. But I'll let you guys give me some feedback on that. I'd really like to hear from you. I'm going to, in a couple of weeks, it'll be my turn to get the O inhaler, so I'll be able to report back to you live on that. All right, remember maybe a year ago where Boston Logan International Airport was fighting with Continental on their Wi-Fi lounge that they had set up? Well, the FCC, for the third time, is like went back to Boston Logan and said, hey, we're the ones that control the airways. You can't tell Continental what they can or cannot do and whether or not they can have a Wi-Fi signal. You don't control the airways. So Boston Logan has been slapped for a third time. So that's good news for those of you that fly through there. You're going to be able to get Wi-Fi from other people versus the contracted Boston Logan provider, which is good. All right, those of you that are using FeeDemon, version 2.1 beta 3A is out. And hey, Nick, it's working well. This thing still at times can be a serious CPU hog, but I do like it. I really wish, though, that there was more blog now type of features built right into this thing. Instead, I use BlogJet. I like BlogJet, but it'd be really cool to just blog now straight from FeeDemon. When are you going to add that, my friend? I'd love to see that put in there. And, you know, why don't you, you know, you've got a great company behind you right now. Why don't you go buy one of these little small apps and incorporate it in so it's seamless? I'd love to see that on this application. But those of you that are using FeeDemon, go out there and get the update. All right, the Solar Optical Telescope on board the Japan Hinode spacecraft has opened its doors and started taking some pictures. And the pictures that are turning back are pretty, I guess the best way to describe it is weird. Kind of looks like a gravel driveway under a weird light. I guess that's the best way to describe what the pictures look like. But if you want to see the sun up and close and what the actual, what this stuff looks like or what the sun looks like, this is some weird pictures, I'm going to tell you. But I'm sure we're going to see some more stuff coming out. They've got some ultraviolet imaging spectrometer images as well. So very interesting. I don't know quite what to think about this. And I just really wonder how much actual science are going to be able to get off this thing. All right, have you guys heard about this guy named Michael Crook? And I have a hard time believing this is his actual name. He is a, this guy is in internet terms, he's kind of, I guess I best thing I could describe about him is his ethics and what he has done questions me, it makes me question his motives. Boing Boing has a very good article on him and how he had sent a DMCA takedown notice, but also some of the comments he's made in the public and on Hannity and Combs and some other shows. This guy is a piece of work. And some stuff he did on Craigslist and very, very, this is a person you definitely want to stay away from. So I'm sure he'll send something to me after we link to this article. But it makes me wonder where these types of people come from. But anyway, you guys can check this out. Link will be up in the show notes. And it just goes to show you that if you're sending information, personal information to someone, just be prepared for that information to be put up on the internet, no matter how embarrassing it may or may not be. All right. There's a website that I've started reading recently, and it's from Adam. His name's Adam Calzi. He's got he comes up with some great articles, doesn't write a lot of posts, but he has taken a fight against the company to his blog, and I kind of commend him on this. This is how you get companies' attentions. Last month, he called out a company called Ecophones, Ecophones. Now, those of you that may have kids in the Scouts, your kids, Scoutmaster, or the organization locally may have been targeted by this company to collect. Essentially, what they do is they go out to organizations, hey, collect all the old cell phones and turn them in, and it's a money-making type thing. I don't know fully how it works, but this company's went through and collected on scout-related websites. They've scoured all the email addresses, and they've been spamming people. Well, Adam's either Scoutmaster or something, but he's been getting spammed by this company to say, hey, come do this thing. It's a great moneymaker for your, you know, for your troop. And he's been talking about their spamming effort against them and their attempted marketing effort or whatever they're doing. But his rants on them made it to the number two link on Google. That got the company's attention. And the guy lambasted him in the comments about what he was saying about them. So Adam turned right around and blasted him publicly a little bit more. Now, whether or not this has the intended thing that Adam wants to happen with the company basically saying, hey, we're not going to do this no more, is yet to be seen. But I think it's a good lesson for all of us as we're out there writing on our blogs and we're creating podcasts and we're talking about companies either positive or negatively, you know, to tell them what their options are and what they should do to clean themselves up or to fix a problem. I try to do that in this show here. You know, if I'm blasting on a company, I usually try to give them also ways that they can go about fixing their issues. And if I don't do that at all times, I've kind of made myself a mental note here that I need to make sure that, you know, not only should we blast a company, but we should also at the same point give them some good feedback on what they should do. So when they listen to the show or read a blog post, we start educating them and, you know, giving them the positive or negative exposure that they deserve. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. I keep you advised. I keep watching his website. He writes a great blog. So if you've got a RSS aggregator yourself, this would definitely be one that you want to add. I put him on my daily read list, and not a lot of blogs get on my daily read list. They really don't. A site that I found today is called the L'Oreal.wordpress.com. It's L'Oreal.wordpress.com. It's called Truth and Consequences of Blogs That Stand Out. And this is probably, if you're a blogger, this is definitely the read of the night. And I was reading through this, and I got to thinking, is there a couple of things on Geek News Central we need to change to fit some of the things that she's saying here? And I guess I'd want some feedback from the audience. For those of you that read my blog, how many of you think the typeset in the posting section is too small? That's my main concern based upon what I've read within this blog post. And there's a lot of takeaways here for anyone that has a blog. And the same thing for podcasters out there. If you are running a standard plain Jane template and you haven't modified it all and you haven't added graphics or you haven't went and taken the time to building up your brand, and she goes into this a little bit, you need to make your webpage stand out. You need it to be different. When people come to Geek News Central, they absolutely unequivocally know they're there. There is no other site like it. Now, the same thing with this L'Oreal on WordPress. Her site is unique enough, but it's just small things in a typical blog layout, just the colors and maybe some of the initial graphics, that I will instantaneously know this is a blog that had good and stuff on it before just by the look of it. If I run across this, you know, through a link somewhere, I'll take more notice of it because of its good design. And it just goes on to talks about lots of different things, about navigation, talks about the blog post, talking about traffic, talking about convenience. And she's got a checklist, 13 spots on her checklist. Is it readable? Is it easy to read? Is it easy to navigate? Does it offer content categories? Does design match the content? Is the content consistent? Does the content showcase you as an expert or a hobbyist or a vague curiosity seeker? Is the content well-written? Does your blog design and content give people a reason to return? How convenient is your site or blog to use? Does it offer feeds? Does it offer comments? Does it offer trackbacks? This is her 13-point checklist, but what's important, the meat of this, is in the very, very beginning of it. The first, it's a little bit of a read, but it's well worth it. All right, we're at 53 minutes. Let me go into the email comments. All right, so we've got, I started the commentary tonight at about 12 minutes after, so that's roughly 40 minutes of content that we've had so far tonight, okay? So I'm just keeping track because I wanted to kind of point that out to some of the listener that sent me the email on his concerns about the show not having enough content. All right, let's go up here and get into the actual email. Okay, I got an email from Thomas. He said, "Hey, Todd, here's an interesting topic I talked about in a recent podcast you might find interesting. One is a wireless HD, which is awesome in the fight against wires. He gives me some links, and the other is a script to some of the some sorts that the guy has allowed us a one-click rip of DVDs. So I'm going to put the two links that he's talking about here up in the listener links. Got an email from Derek Miller. For those of you that are podcasters out there, you're definitely going to want to check out this link. Apple has put a section within its website that talks about, gives some links to great ways to create podcast production, some ways to make yourself stand out. So I'll have that up in the show notes. Got an email from a whole bunch of you that said, hey, you got the weight wrong, dude. He said, that guy that lost over 100 kilograms is about 220 pounds. I realized it after I put the show to bed. And, of course, first thing in the morning, my inbox had like 5 emails from people saying, hey, dude, you blew it. And this one came from James. He also talks about the wages at Fry's. He says, I'm a tech in a TV repair shop in Raleigh, North Carolina. When my incoming work area gets low, I give some paperwork to a nice young man who goes out to a warehouse to dig out my next job. He doesn't make over $8 an hour. He has a bachelor's degree in computer science, but there are no jobs open in the area for his qualifications, so he has to take what he can get, just like the guys working at Fry's. Both my stepdaughter and stepson deliver pizzas for a living. They would like to do better, but the work isn't to be had. During the last 6 years, there have been jobs created in the burger flipping end of the spectrum, but very few others above that. When I was 21, without a college education, I was earning as much as my 55-year-old father. I think my generation, same age as George W. and Slick Willie, was the peak, since none of the kids I have known have made close to what I do. Most of the decent paying jobs that a lightly educated person could get when I was young are gone overseas, leaving the current generation with burger flipping and ditch digging. Leaving them with burger flipping and ditch digging. And those ditch diggers actually make pretty good money. The construction guys are protected by the union and they do all right. I agree, there is a lot of service sector jobs for sure. And it's tough without an education. Even if you do have education, depends on where you live. You know, look at here in Hawaii. We've got a huge tourism industry. The housing prices are just astronomical and a very large service industry paying minimum wage or a little bit higher. I think some of the wages around here average about $10 an hour. But, you know, the housing is also $2,700 a month for a rental, too. So it's relative, I guess. I know it's tough out there. Depending on where you live. So I guess the way that guy looked at it was that these guys were working at Fry's in Silicon Valley, and why was the price so low? And I guess it's just because people need jobs, and there isn't enough high paying jobs to go around, or not enough qualified people to do them. So interesting comment. Thanks for that. Do appreciate it. Got an email from Dean. He said, I want you to know about a new site that I ran across recently called AskPresent.com. It's a Flash-based web presentation site. If you get a chance to take a look, we'll take a look at that. Got an email from Morgan. He goes into a very extensive, he's copied an online service call that he was doing with some folks from Linksys, where it was very obvious that the service rep was from overseas, and just reading through this service call is hilarious. So thanks for sending me that kind of stuff. I'll probably put this up in the show notes, but it just goes to show what happens when you outsource some of the stuff that you probably shouldn't be outsourcing, and it's a prime example of bad service through outsourced stuff to overseas help shops. Got an email from Nir. Hey, Nir, thanks for that email, and thanks for being a listener in Israel. I definitely appreciate it. I know we've got other listeners I've gotten emails before from other people there, so you're not alone, my friend, but thanks for staying subscribed, and thanks for pointing out my kilo to pound calculation error. Got a bunch of emails from people just pointing me at links to different sites. Got a an email from Andrew out of Belfast, Northern Ireland. He says, first of all, what is an enhanced podcast? Well, we're running too late in the show. I'm going to have to definitely go into it in the next one. So thanks for that question, Andrew, and I'll definitely write it down here. We'll talk about it more. And he says, what is OXO? Next, OXO is a stock cube. You just crumble it up, add water, and you have beef stock, chicken stock, lamb stock. And he talks about it's just typically a soup. And he talks about spammers that who would use your actual address as a return address, talking about how he'd gotten over 5,000 failed-to-deliver emails and corrected me on the word tech meme is actually meme, so tech meme. So I keep doing that. I don't know why. I know better than that. But he points me to his website as well. I'll link that up. Everyone, thanks so very much for all of your email comments. There was many, many more. I do appreciate that. Again, if you're not getting a newsletter, please send me an email. Let me know, and just keep them coming in, and we'll cover more as we can. I do have a couple of quick audio comments. Let me go down to the bottom. I think I'm only going to play one. I'll play one from a new caller.
Hey, Todd, this is Lloyd from West Covina, California. I was just listening to your show on the 31st, and calling about the guy who had his iPod fixed without any questions asked at the Apple Store. I had a legitimate problem with my iPod, brought it right into the Apple Store. They would not cover it because of some technicality of my video not being legitimate on my iPod. And it came down to just the guy not wanting to get off of his butt and do his job. And then just hearing this guy, he just had an issue that was not actually covered, putting it through the washing machine. He actually got it covered and had a new iPod. Just not right. Some of the stores, when you find someone happy working there, they're going to help you. If someone's not happy, they're not going to help you. That's the only downside I have to my iPod. Any other things that need to be covered, just minimal. Keep up the good show. Talk to you.
Hey, thanks for your feedback. And I tell you what, why don't you, you should call Apple and tell them about your experience. If you went to the Genius Bar or if you who you had to deal with, they usually, I've never had a problem in an Apple store getting good customer service. That's what they begin to get. But I've heard recently they've had a little bit of slip in that. So I would definitely call Apple on it. You know, if your iPod's still under warranty, they've got to honor it. And hopefully you'll get some resolution there. I know that's aggravating when you run into someone that just doesn't care and don't want to help. But, sadly, that's the way it is sometimes. But, when it happens, don't just be – just go to a – ask for a supervisor. And, that alone many times will cause an instantaneous change in demeanor. Being the customer, you are the customer there. You are the one that is supposed to be served. If they're not serving you and are giving you an attitude, man, that's the instant ticket to someone taking care of you. Especially if the person's right there and you can explain to the manager, hey, listen, this guy, I'm coming in, I got a problem with my iPod. It's legitimate. Here's an issue. I'm not getting any satisfaction in here. He's giving me attitude. Help me. What can you do for me? And if that doesn't work, if that manager gives you an attitude and he's the one that's going to stand behind the, try not to come off with an attitude yourself. But at the same point, then you take that, write everybody's name down. When you pull out a piece of paper and start writing people's names down and asking for either the employee ID number or something like that, believe me, they do not want you calling corporate. They don't want you. I don't know how the stores are structured. I don't know if there's specific owners for each store, if Apple owns the core stores themselves. But you start sending in a commentary to Apple or call their customer service line with people's names and then blog about it. Oh, yes, blog about it. You will get people's attention in a hurry. Okay, that's it. We're long. And anyway, I want to thank all of you, of course, for staying subscribed to the show. Send your comments back to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. If you appreciate the show, if you use iTunes, if you use Yahoo Podcasts, wherever you are, drop a comment on those sites for us, please. the feedback and putting comments up on whether you like the show or not goes a long way to helping us attract new listeners to the show, and tell your friends about the podcast as well. And send us feedback, of course, positive or negative. And I do appreciate even the critical comment that comes in. And but thanks, everyone. Take care, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Aloha. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.